Good morning, everybody. It's 1400 Zulu, and this is SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SouthCars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and good amateur practice. This SouthCars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found on the World Wide Web at southcars.com and for our digital operation, again, on the World Wide Web at voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session is actually K6SUN, Kathy. My name is Gary, KC2RMO, located in Syracuse's beautiful Outer Comstock section. We have a temperature right now of 70 degrees and a great day looking forward ahead. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. Nothing heard, we'll ask the question as well. Is anybody having a birthday this week? And again, nothing heard, and as Kathy is fond of saying, looks like nobody's getting any older, and that's a good thing. Well, our topic this morning on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew is Earth Day. This is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere and enjoy a moderated rag chew. We have a lot of fun with these. So without further ado, let's get things going, shall we? We'll bring on K6SUN, and good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Gary, and thanks for opening the session, and good morning to everyone. You know, today we are going to discuss the Earth Day and Arbor Day, and what we do to celebrate that special time. And do you know what Earth Day is all about? So this morning we hope that you'll share with us how you recycle, how you may reuse, how you refuse. Do you have a recycling day? So at this time I'm going to share a little bit of information with you, and then we're going to ask for check-ins. But first celebrated in the U.S. on this date, it has been celebrated each year thereafter at the United Nations, bringing attention to its original purpose, peace, justice, and the care of the Earth. The first Earth Day brought 20 million Americans out into the spring sunshine for peaceful demonstrations in favor of environmental reform. Now, each year on this date, which is actually the 22nd of April, it marks the anniversary of what many consider the birth of the modern environmental movement in the 1970s, the height of the hippie and the flower child culture in the United States. 1970 brought the death of Jimi Hendrix, the last Beatles album, and the Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water. Protest was the order of the day, but saving the planet was not the cause. The war raged in Vietnam, and students nationwide increasingly opposed it. The first Earth Day brought 20 million Americans out into the spring sunshine for peaceful demonstrations in favor of environmental reform. Let me pause here just for a moment. You know, Arbor Day, or Earth Day as it's called, is April 22nd, and as I recall, this is only through the year 2015, so maybe the date is closing or changing. It is set aside for planting trees and is mostly celebrated by school children. Most states celebrate the holiday, as do the provinces in Canada. The southern states in Hawaii celebrate it somewhere between December and March, while most northern states celebrate it in April or May. The holiday began in Nebraska through the efforts of Julia Sterling Morton, a newspaper publisher. April 10, 1872, was set aside as Nebraska's first Arbor Day, and after his death, the legislature made April 22nd the legal holiday for Arbor Day. So, before I go any further, let's see if we can hear from you. Tell us about Earth Day. Maybe you like gardening. That's part of Earth Day as well. Or maybe you just want to say hi. So how about some check-ins this morning?
RMO.
Victor X-Ray Papa. a UKZ if I'm still around by the time you get to me, Kathy. If not, just skip me, and I'll be back. I've got to jet out the door as soon as my ride gets here. So the 01UKZ.
All right. I want to thank you all for connecting. If it's okay with you, Gary and Rick, I'm going to pick up Daryl first because he is waiting for his ride. I've been watching you bounce in and out, so I'm going to pick you up before you bounce out again. And maybe you would like to tell us how they celebrate Earth Day or Arbor Day up there in Newfoundland. So good morning to you, Daryl.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for bumping me ahead there. Much appreciated. I try to get in here on Sunday mornings. You know yourself, most times I'm not able to make it and get in here before the net close or get back before the net closes. So I have an engagement on Sunday mornings that I have to get to, and it's not church, but it is a regular thing. So in regard to Earth Day, I'm not sure. I think people around here do get the day off for it, but other than that, I'm really not sure. Here in the city, we do the typical things like, recycling a certain day of the week or every second trash day or something like that in different color bags and whatnot. But other than that, I'm really not sure about Earth Day history around here. And actually, just wanted to jump in here this morning and say hello and good morning to everybody. And yeah, I've been having some connection issues this morning. Weirdly enough, I get connected for a few minutes and then do get bounced off. For some reason, I really don't know what it is. I've got everything configured properly here, you know, no multi-link and all of that kind of stuff. So, really not sure what's causing it. But good morning to everybody connected. And if I can get back in here before you guys close, I would be very happy to do so. And back to you, the 01UKZ.
Well, thank you so much, Daryl, for sharing that with us. You know, when you talk about connectivity, I, for some reason, can't directly connect to my IP address this morning, so I'm heading through a proxy, and I'll worry about that after the net. But the day off, that would be interesting. Actually, we get, as a school district, we get Good Friday off, which is next Friday, or this coming Friday, I should say, and then the day before is an early release day. But we don't get Earth Day off, but that would be interesting to have that day off and just plant those trees. And I think I recall planting some trees out in the courtyard of one of the schools I teach at during Earth Day. We may do that once again. Have a great day, Daryl, and hopefully you'll get back and we'll still be connected and we can hear how your day went. So with that, I'll break with you, and I'll pick up my backup, Mr. Gary. He's going to explain to me this morning what OIT means in Brooklyn. Gary, come aboard.
Good morning, Kath, and good morning, everybody. It's KC2RMO, and, well, I guess we'll get this first order of business underway here. The OIT is OIT, and that's how you say the planet that we live on if you're Bugs Bunny or if you come from Brooklyn. So today we're talking about OIT Day on the Sunday morning rag queue. So that's what that's all about. I can remember that very first OIT Day I remember in the, that was 1970. That was my senior year in high school. And I remember it was kind of confusing. Nobody really knew what it was. I remember the week preceding Earth Day or OIT Day, there were, poster board posters up in the hall, handmade posters in the halls about Earth Day. And nobody knew what the heck it was. So everybody was kind of asking each other and trying to find out more about it. I think by Friday we had some sort of an idea what the whole thing was, and there was a demonstration downtown, in favor of Earth Day, and down in Clinton Square, if I remember correctly, and a bunch of folks went down there and held the signs and save the Earth and everything, and that kicked it off. But what a great thing it really has been, though. That it's endured all these years, and it's kind of, it's definitely grown into a mainstream celebration and a mainstream cause. Back then, it was kind of, here I was just one of those hippie pinko kids, you didn't get a lot of respect except for your peers, but it's great to see, you know, that this is a mainstream issue, because everybody at this time, I think most people have come to understand that the environment affects everybody, and it's, you know, we're all in this together, so we all have the same stake. But anywho, we'll get back to the net. This is KC2RMO. Going back to you, Kat.
Well, Gary, thanks for that explanation of white. But, you know, I'm thinking back to my mother. Many, many years ago, I think Sean was just a baby. About 1978 or 79, they bought some property. Didn't have a tree on it. And back then, and I don't know if they still have this, but through the agriculture department, you could buy just little seedlings. They were spruce trees, and she planted hundreds and hundreds of them. And, you know, some of them died. But you have to see her property now after that many years, probably 30-some years. They are, I bet you they're 100 feet tall. They are gigantic. So she participated in that, and I don't know if they have that down here in the state of Florida. But I'm thinking maybe I'll plant, especially if we move into this home, maybe plant a tree to just see how far it'll grow, how long we're there. So thank you, Gary, for sharing that, and hopefully as I go through some of the other information we're going to talk about, you'll share further with us, because I know you probably do a lot of the reusing of different things. So with that, Mr. Rick up there in Ohio, N1VXP, what could you share with us about Earth Day, Arbor Day, or gardening, or just say hi to us this morning, and good morning.
Good morning to all. N1VXP here. I have to think back, probably maybe 58 or 59, I was in school in Michigan, and the teacher had mentioned in the previous years something about Arbor Day, but nothing was really too much done in the classroom. But I can remember that one year, teacher said, well, Arbor Day is coming up, and we're all like, okay. We're still confused as to what it is, or what it was, and she said, you know, we're going to do a special project. In fact, all the students in the school are going to do it together. So we thought, okay, what's this going to be? So she came out with a big tray full of flower pots. And she said, well, our class, we're going to plant flower seeds. And she said, you know, this is our little way of doing Arbor Day planting. So our class ended up getting marigold seeds. Other classes had petunias and all different flowers. And, you know, we planted them into the little pots, put them up on the window, watered them every day, and watched them actually growing. And the whole highlight of the event was after about a month. Let me drop for a second. You know, it was a show and tell of all the flowers. All the, you know, we all got together into the auditorium, brought our plants, and we had a nice little flower arrangement that was done, and it was quite an experience, because the teacher never just said, well, just plant the plant and forget about it. She went through a lot of the thing about Arbor Day, how it started, and she made a statement I still never forget. She said, you know, it's too bad that all over the nation, there are some states that do honor it or celebrate Arbor Day, but she said, you know, it's got to be a collective activity that everybody should be aware of. And I went and moved on to different schools and found that a lot of areas had no idea of what Earth Day or Arbor Day was until it was the late, or mid, it was in around 66 or 67. I was at one school and they said, Earth Day, that sounds like it could be an interesting time. And I kind of gave out the word that I had known about Arbor Day in other states, and next thing I know, I was so many people asked me so many questions. I said, hey, let's think of a day we could start spring planting and work together and enjoy it. Let me drop for a second. And as far as recycling, I've been in other areas. They do heavy recycling. Here in Ohio, about the only thing that people tend to recycle, and that's only because of money, is soda cans or beer cans. They don't seem to do any other recycling like they should. I've always thought about it. I was like, man, you know, somebody could come up with recycling glass and other materials. Now, granted, they do recycle some heavier metals other than aluminum, but nothing on a regular basis. And if it doesn't involve money, people don't want to do it. And I'm thinking that's not the way it should be, but that's the way the community around here is. And I've always thought about recycling. I was like, yeah, that would be a great idea, but you know, it just takes a lot of time and cooperation with everybody. I think we would end up having our landfills not so heavily filled up so quick if we did recycle a lot more. N1TXP, back to net control.
Well, Rick, thanks for sharing all that with us. You know, actually, I'm going to talk about, but Earth Day, Arbor Day really wasn't first started until the 1970s. You know, it was there, but probably wasn't as popular. I don't know if we celebrate it or we honor it. You know, and I'm thinking the 22nd this year at one of the schools I'll be teaching. I'm actually giving that FCAT test, but maybe I'll start the day by saying, asking the children if they know what today is. They've been pretty good on knowing the different days when I ask them, so I may just try that. But I'm thinking back to when I was in school. I'm not sure if, you know, probably in elementary school they do things with planting of trees or flowers. But when you get a little bit into the middle school or high school, they probably don't do any of that at all. So thank you, Rick and Gary and Daryl, for coming aboard. But I'm going to pause here a moment, and I'm going to share some further thoughts with you, and then we'll come back and ask for check-ins. And actually, just a little bit further down this morning, I'm going to talk about the reusing and the recycling. But before I go on, Rick, I'm going to ask you a question, and maybe Gary. Is when I lived in the state of Michigan, bottles and cans had a deposit on them. You paid the deposit, but you'd also turn them back in. When I was very, very young, I remember walking in the country and just collecting all those bottles, and I used to get a lot of money that way. Can you tell me, Rick and Gary, or anyone else that wants to come aboard, do you have deposits on bottles and cans in the state in which you live?
RMO.
Victor Hotel.
And Victor X-Ray Pop-Up.
All right, I'm going to pick up these three gentlemen, but anyone else as we go through the program, maybe that's something you can tell us. I know in the state of Florida, we do not have deposits on bottles or cans, and you see them in the roads all the time. In the state of Michigan, they used to have it, 5 to 10 cents. So, Gary, what can you tell about recycling that deposit on bottles and cans in the grand state of New York?
Well, thanks, Kath. I think growing up, when I was a little kid, there was a deposit, and I want to say it was a penny back then, or 2 cents, something like that. And then as we got into the mid-60s, I think right up to probably around 1980, you saw those famous words on bottles and cans, no deposit, no return, which was right up there with no strings and honest weight, you know, those things. So for a while, New York did not have a deposit bottle system. But then it came back, and it has stayed until this very day. So right now, we have a nickel deposit on our cans and bottles, and that's been, I think, probably, and I'm just going off the top of my head, so I'm going to say since around 1980 anyway, that they brought it back. So, and it's been very successful here. And everybody's really, you know, taking it very well. You know, people hang on to their bottles. They bring them back. Every grocery store has a, or many of the big grocery stores anyway, have automatic machines. They put the bottles in, and then it gives you a voucher, and you take it up to the cashier, and she gives you the money for it. So it's been pretty successful in this state anyway. It's worked out very well. I know as a kid, I was doing the same thing. I used to have my my little red wagon, and I'd pick up those bottles, and I used to save up that money, and it helped fund a lot of model cars for me. So it supplemented my allowance. It was a pretty good way of making easy money. So yeah, it has worked well here, I expect eventually all states will have that. But from New York's standpoint, it's been a hit. So with that, we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO. Back to you, Kath.
All right, Gary. Thanks for sharing that. Like I said, the state of Michigan used to have that when I was young. I remember with my three brothers and my parents, we would go into an area. You know, maybe it was country, and we would walk for miles and miles, and we would, you know, we had a garbage bag, I believe, and we'd put that in that garbage bag when we got home, and it was taken to the store. My parents would divide that. You know, there were times I got over $100 a week, so, you know, it really was a great earning. But like I said, Florida doesn't have the deposits here. But I do see a lot of people homeless and that going along the roads picking that up. Maybe it's because it's recyclable and they get money for that. So thank you, Gary. And I know you'll be back aboard as I continue sharing. But Mr. Steve in Louisiana, KF5VH, what do they do in Louisiana as far as bottles and cans? Is there a deposit? Or maybe there isn't. Thanks for being here. Thanks for continuing to update our website with those fantastic pictures. So, Steve, what can you tell us about Louisiana?
Well, good morning, Kathy. Good morning to everyone on board the net this morning. Here in Louisiana, there is not a deposit on bottles or cans, but there are people who sift through trash, picking out aluminum and recycling that aluminum privately. When I was growing up, we lived in northern Indiana. Northern Indiana did not have a deposit for bottles or cans. But as you said, Michigan did. And my folks had a summer cottage in Michigan that we would go to all summer long. So we had the advantage of collecting bottles. My brother and I could collect bottles in Indiana where no one was trying to get at the bottles. They had no value. Take them across the state line and get the Michigan deposit for it up there. So that's even better than going around where everyone's trying to pick them up. They were plentiful in Indiana. Back to you, Kathy, and everyone have a good day. KF5VH.
Well, thank you, Steve, for sharing that. I think that's the first I've heard that you had a summer home in Michigan. But you've been through various states, lived in various states as well. But, yeah, when you talk about the aluminum, I think that's what the homeless and some of those, they go to different buckets and they're pulling things out. Also, I see them going there, of course, and getting cigarette butts out of different things. They go through and just take a lot of things out of the trash. So it's interesting to see that some of the states don't have the deposit, some do. And it looks like maybe further up north is when they where they have it. So I'll break with you, Steve, but come back aboard at any point if you have anything to share with us. I want to pick up Rick up there in Ohio And when the XP, what can you tell us about the bottles and the cans? Is there a deposit still up there? And I want to say, it's probably afternoon now, but I want to say a good afternoon to Mr. Scotland. This is a rarity. We don't usually see you on a Sunday, our Sunday morning. So with that, Rick, come aboard.
This is N1VXB. Yeah, Ohio does not have a deposit. Of course, like Steve says, you know, people do pick up the cans for collecting them. I think there's one particular, I call them the trash recycle company, that they offer 75 cents a pound on as far as aluminum. Of course, they also pay so much for scrap steel and other metals as well. But no deposit on the cans or bottles. Kind of wish somebody, like I say, I wish somebody would come up with the idea of glass, because there's always plenty of that around. Connecticut, I'll go back. Michigan, I remember it was a 2 cent for soda cans or soda bottles. Cans were not really, I don't remember them being that involved in the deposits, but I do remember the soda bottles had 2 cents and beer bottles had 5 cents. So we would always find, every once in a while, my brother and I would find a bunch of beer bottles, and we were like, oh wow, we get a lot more money for that. But when I was in Connecticut, the only way the automated machines, they were actually able to use them in the stores, and they actually read the little barcode that was on, special barcode that was on the particular bottles or cans. Let me drop for a second. You know, they had a special barcode, and the machine was set for only accepting the particular cans, bottles, that the beverage that was sold in that store. So if it wasn't sold in the store, you couldn't, you know, would reject it, and you had to bring it to another store that actually did carry that particular brand. But yeah, it works out pretty good. You know, some of the package stores say, well, hey, we only accept the ones that we sell. And there was some big controversy over that, but eventually the way it worked out was most people understood, okay, fine, you know, we buy a case of beer, bottles, you know, we redeem back to that particular store. But up in the state of Maine, they don't sell, and this is what really gets me as far as recycling, you cannot buy any kind of beverage in a glass bottle. It's all plastic. And they do have a deposit even down to a water bottle. They were one of the few states that realized that there are so many millions of bottles of bottled water that were sold, and it was getting out of hand, so they decided, hey, let's put a deposit on water bottles. And it's up to the individuals in the homes to recycle the glass. You know, it was the idea that you separate it out. You had special bins. And when you, let me drop for a second. And when you went to get rid of your trash, there was actually at the, I call it the dump site, you know, it was special dumpsters strictly for glass. You separated out the newspaper. We had everything pretty well separated out. The trash, garbage went into one area, but all the other recycled things that were not with deposits were actually separated, and it worked out quite well. My relatives all say, well, it's a little bit of work, but when you stop and think about landfill, you don't have really a lot going in that's not able to be decomposed into the ground, and works out quite well. M1GXP back to net control.
Well, Rick, thanks for sharing that. You know, and I'm thinking, this is the Myers store, I believe, in Michigan. I remember going to the machines like you and others have talked about this morning, and it had to be their brand. If they didn't carry it, they wouldn't accept it, and it would just spit it back out. And I think they had a special machine for the, like, the beer bottles, anything that was glass, because you had to stand it up. Because I think as you put it through the machine, the cans, it crushes it up, and the plastic, it crushes it up. And then at some point, you know, when that machine is full, you can't put anything more in, and those that work there had to empty it. So that's not something we see down here in Florida too much, but we do recycle. Actually, I think it's on Tuesday or Wednesday here in this community, and it's everything that's plastic. And, you know, I never use these special bins and recycle. I just normally throw it in the garbage, so I'm possibly not doing what I should be doing. But let me continue with just a little bit here about Earth Day, and then we're going to again ask for some check-ins. You know, at this time, we're talking about Earth Day. Americans were, and we're talking way back when there were the oil spills and when they were concerned about the environment. Americans were slurping leaded gas through massive V8 sedans. The industry belched out smoke and sludge with little fear of legal consequences or bad press. Air pollution was commonly accepted as the smell of prosperity. Environment was a word that appeared more often in spelling bees than on the evening news. Earth Day 1970 capitalized on the emerging consciousness, the channeling the energy of the anti-war protest movement, and putting environment concerns front and center. Earth Day is a day early each year on which events are held worldwide to increase awareness and appreciation of the Earth's natural environment. And, you know, Earth Day was first observed in San Francisco, and I'm hoping Gordon will come aboard when I ask for check-ins, and other cities. And this was March 21st, 1970, the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. Earth Day proved popular in the United States and around the world. The first Earth Day had participants and celebrants in 2000, colleges and universities, roughly 10,000 primary and secondary schools, and hundreds of communities across the United States. So at this time, let me throw it out there once again. For anyone who's just connected, we're talking about Earth Day, Arbor Day. What do they do in your area, and do you remember anything in the past that you may have done before we move on? So this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for some check-ins.
RMO one more time.
Kilo Juliet 4, Romeo Kilo Bravo.
And 6 Victor.
All right, I have three gentlemen. I have Gary and Gordon, and I have Kilo Juliet 4, Romeo Kilo Bravo. I hope I got that down right. Anyone else want to come aboard? Share with us about Earth Day, Arbor Day, maybe gardening in your area. We're going to be talking about gardening further down, and recycling, about the 3 R's of the environment. Anyone else want to come aboard at this point? All right, hearing nothing, I'm going to start with you, Gary. Come back aboard.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I was listening to Rick, and kind of reminded me of a couple of things. Number one, I was thinking back to when he was talking about Arbor Day, and I can recall, this must have been probably third or fourth grade, they celebrated Arbor Day here. I remember they had the entire fourth grade out there digging a hole. Every kid got a chance to take a shovel full of dirt, you know, and dig the hole. We planted a tree. I remember that. Interestingly enough, I'm sure that tree is still there. I'm not that far from the elementary school I went to, and you prompted me to take a trip. I wanted to see if that thing's still there. So that's one thing. I had forgotten all about that until we started talking about it this morning. But the other thing I wanted to comment on was that it appears that Here in Onondaga County, we have a pretty advanced recycling system. They really have put a lot of money into it, and there's a big focus on it here. And the way we do stuff here, it's very easy to recycle. You don't have to really think too much about it. You get I think they give you two blue bins to start out with, and you can always request more. I've got five because we just, I don't know what it is, we just generate a lot of recyclable material. I certainly know back when I was in the band, I did my share of bottles, I know that, but we do. We just seem to have a lot of stuff to recycle, so we've got five going. And really what you do is you just take anything that's recyclable. You don't have to break it down into anything, but you just take anything that's a recycle item, you put it in the blue bins, and they pick it up with the trash, and that's it. They have a huge resource recovery plant, and it's just very sophisticated and does all the sorting and whatever they do there. And this has been going on. The agency that runs it is ACRA. Let me just buy a nickel. ACRA, the Onondaga County Resource Recovery Association, and they do a great job, actually. So we've been kind of, I don't know if we're on the leading edge of things, but I know we've got a pretty good thing going here. And it only promises to get better. So that's that for that. We'll take it back to the net. This is KC2RMO. Back to you, Kath.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Gary. And, you know, I never put out the Recycle Day, I guess. They're blue containers, and they just pick them up, same trucks that pick up the garbage, and they put them in there. And I guess it's just, I've never done it. The 7 years I've lived here, I have never participated in that, I guess, and you know, that's maybe something that's wrong on my part, but used to recycle all the time. And you know, thinking of when you talk about, we talk about the environment and you know all that dumps out there. In fact, Jack is here. I'm not sure, it's in Fort Pierce, we call it, I don't know, my kids call it Mount Trash, but it's where they dump all the, it's probably one of our biggest mountains here in Florida. But, you know, we've lost a lot of trees. I remember this in Michigan. They chopped down the trees because they wanted to make housing developments, or they wanted to, actually, I think up north they did it because they wanted to plant new trees. But seeing it here in the state of Florida, and Gordon, I'm sure, can share this, Jack, along the expressway, we're in different areas, our community, the construction that's going on, where they're destroying trees and properties. So maybe others can share that too. But I think his name is Brian, Kilo Juliet 4. A Romeo Kilo Bravo, come aboard. If I have the right person, you're from Alabama. So what would you like to share with us about Earth Day, Arbor Day, gardening, recycling, or maybe just to say hi this morning? So, Brian, I hope I've got the right call.
Yeah, Kathy, you got the right call. It's just been a long time since we've spoken. I used to check in regularly through the Echo Link on my computer, and it's been a while. You probably know me better as Red. It's what everybody calls me. But I'm like the last gentleman. I remember, and this is way back in the 70s, probably early 70s. We were given a pine tree, a little baby pine tree for Arbor Day, and you know, we had it wrapped up in a wet paper towel or whatever, and we went out and we planted these things in this field by the elementary school that I attended, and that's 500 miles north of here in Tennessee, so I don't know if those trees, I'm sure they're probably still there, but that's what I recall also for Arbor Day when I was a child. But as far as recycling here in Alabama, they don't really do recycling here. I know that if you live in the city part, you can get bins but where I live in the county, we have to dispose of our own trash. There's county sites, and they encourage recycling. Myself and my wife, like for instance, we don't get the plastic bags from the grocery store. She carries her own canvas bags in, recyclable bags, and glass and plastic or whatever. We make sure we put that in a separate bin that the county provides at the trash sites. So we try and do our part, but we don't get any money for it. As a small child growing up, I remember we used to chase down bottles all the time to go to the local 7-Eleven and get pocket change so we could go up and buy like Slurpees or candy or popcorn and stuff at the softball games they used to have on weekends at the Rotary Parks. But that's about it. Just good to be back on the net and say hello to everybody. This is Kilo Juliet 4, Romeo Kilo Bravo. Back to net.
Well, thanks for coming aboard this morning, Red. And I don't know, I think I heard you a little while back, but maybe it has been a little while. But, you know, I see in the grocery stores quite often, a lot of people do not want anything in plastic bags. They'll take the paper, they'll ask for the paper, or they bring their own, like you're saying. They sell bags, I think they're cloth bags, and people do not want their food in those plastic bags at all. And, you know, they're not very sturdy. It always is amazing how the children working in some of the stores will bag up so many glass jars in one bag thinking it's going to last. But I use the plastic bags for just about anything. I pick up the kitty litter with it, and I take the coffee grounds in it, and I also line my different little buckets. So it's handy for that. But, you know, they should probably go back to the paper in the store. I think a lot of people would like that. So thank you, Red, for being here, and hopefully we'll hear from you more often. But have a wonderful day up there. And we were talking about the deposit on bottle and cans, and whether Alabama has that or not. But it's interesting, most states do not. So with that, I'm going to break with you. I'm going to pick up Six Victor. Six Victor, I knew you lived in San Francisco, and that's why I wanted you to share with us, because that was the beginning of Arbor Day, Earth Day. But you may have moved away from California at that point, because I think if I'm well aware, you've lived in Florida for over 40 years. So what would you like to share with us this morning? How do you recycle? Do you plant any trees? Have you planted trees in the past? Or anything you'd like to share this morning? So KY6V, come aboard.
Well, hey, Kathy. Good morning to everybody. And an oit oit to Mr. Syracuse up there. That was cute, Gary. Well, let's talk about San Francisco. You know, that was the rage of the flower children, the hippie movement back in the 60s. They took over the gorgeous Golden Gate Park that we had in the city, and sort of bivouacked up there and did all kinds of crazy things. My mother, I remember very vividly, that kept telling me that only God can plant a tree. So I'll just pass on her wisdom. Looks like we're going to have a pretty day here. I see in the text box that, good morning to you, Jack, that you say that you're going to have a high of 84. It's been an hour or two since I've checked the weather here, but we were showing a high of 79, low of about 68 here tonight. But no rain in sight, and a mixture of sun and white puffy type clouds looks like is going to happen. And the winds, when I checked a little while ago, were at about 13 miles an hour out of the south-southeast. So just saying hi, Kathy. Thanks for running the show, and watch out for Mr. Oit Oit, KY6V, back to net.
Well, thank you, Gordon, for coming aboard. And everyone, if you're not aware of this, Gordon and I are now a married couple. He's about 15 feet away from me. And so, I knew, and we have a glass door, so I wanted him to come aboard and talk to us about San Francisco. So with that, you know, I'm going to throw it out there once again. We've had some new people come aboard. Our topic today is Earth Day, Arbor Day, gardening. And I see Mr. OVI out there, Pete, and he likes to garden. He likes, I'm not going to share his favorite tree or plant, but maybe he'll come aboard. And we have Mr. Gary who wants to talk about Mount Rushmore. So at this point, I'm going to throw it out there once again for anyone anywhere who'd like to come aboard. We're talking about reducing the trash, reusing, recycling. We're talking about planting a tree, planting flowers, gardening, anything you want to talk about relating to, I guess, the grounds, our earth. So with that, let me throw it out there and see if we have any check-ins.
RMO, yeah, and I have a comment on Mount Trashmore and density.
All right, I have Gary and Jack. You had no audio. You were keyed up, but no audio. So let me see if there's anyone else that would like to come aboard and join Gary and talk to us about their environment, their planting of seeds and trees, and anything that goes along with the environment. So anyone, anywhere, want to come back aboard and join Mr. Gary?
O-V-I.
Romeo Kilo Bravo. I'd like to ask Gary some questions about Mount Trashmore when he finishes.
Okay, Red, I'll surely do that. So let me start with you, Gary, and then I'm going to call on Red to come back and ask you those questions. So, Mr. Gary, you're going to talk about Mount Trashmore, and you're going to talk about density. So please come aboard. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November and the Sunday Morning Rag Chew.
Well, thanks, Kath. The you had mentioned earlier about Mount Trash, which has to obviously be in your area, but my rotten kid lives in Virginia Beach. And in Virginia Beach, there is a city park that's referred to as Mount Trashmore. Now, Mount Trashmore is has been around since 1974. It is a landfill that was turned into a park, and it is. It's a hill. If you go to Wikipedia and you enter Mount Trashmore, you can see this thing. It is a hill. It is like a small, it looks like a small mountain, and it is a city park that they've reclaimed from an old landfill. It's actually pretty nice. They made it look very, very nice. You have a kids' cove, which is an enhanced play area. They have a lot of stuff for the kids to, you know, jump up and down on and climb on and stuff like that. It's pretty big, 165 acres. The hills are over 60 feet high and over 800 feet long. There are 4 large and 11 small picnic shelters, playground areas, and multiple walking trails. Now, Ryan, my son, was telling me about this. It's a very popular spot in Virginia Beach, folks go there all the time. So you've got, the statue of King Neptune, and you got Mount Trashmore. So I mean, you know, he's got his stuff to visit down there. That's for sure. And then I was mentioning, let me just buy a nickel before I get in trouble. And then I was talking about density. And density is actually what we call destiny around here. We have the Destiny Mall, which is the allegedly the fifth largest mall in America. And the joke is, for those in the know, that density was built on the old Syracuse City dump. It's a huge mall. It is an absolutely huge mall. I remember when it was first being sited, when they were first doing the layout for it, I was actually in school, and I remember I took environmental geology. I took a course in environmental geology, and our professor was saying, if you knew what that place was being built on, you'd go nuts, you know. It's like, and he gave us the history of that was the original Syracuse City dump, and it had been I don't know, for 100 years the city dumped its stuff there. Across the street from it was what we used to call Oil City, which was a major oil storage facility. They tore that all down, so it's a highly polluted area. And of course you've got this big mall with all kinds of it's on every website, from here to Canada, come visit Syracuse and go to Destiny, and that sort of thing. So it's kind of funny when you see those buses in the parking lot. I avoid that place like the plague. Anyway, back to you, Kath. This is KC2RMO.
All right. Thank you, Gary. like I said, in Fort Pierce and towards Vero along the one's along the turnpike, one's along 95, I think. They have where they take the trash. And, it's usually got a little bit of a smell, but it's probably our highest mountain in this area. And that's where they take all of our trash. And a lot of birds fly up there, and I think that's because of the trash. But thanks for sharing with us about Mount Trashmore and the mall. So with that, I'm going to call on Red. He has a question, I think, for you, Gary, and then I'll pick up Mr. OVI. So Red, RKB, come aboard and have your conversation with Gary.
Yeah, thanks again, Kathy. Gary, he pretty much answered my question, because I remember when I was a teenager, and that was back in late 70s, early 80s, around 80, 81. Mount Trashmore, they used to be a professional skate park that they had there inside the park. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard of the X Games, the skateboarding and things, and the name Tony Hawk as one of the pioneers of skateboarding. They used to host big events there, and I was just curious if that place even still existed in Virginia Beach, because it was a real huge event for skateboarding back in the late 70s and early 80s, and it also brought awareness to the area, basically what you can do with a mound of trash. And but he answered my question that I'm glad it's still there, and it's still they're still doing something good with it. So, back to net. That is KJ4RKB. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Red. I guess he answered your question, and that was a very interesting name there in Virginia. Thank you, both you and Gary, for sharing that with us. And we always learn some new information when we do some of our nets. But with that, I'm going to pick up Mr. OVI, and I think I know what he's going to talk about. But talk to us about Earth Day, Arbor Day. Pete, talk to us about gardening. Do you recycle? Do you reuse? Or just say hi to us this morning. And your audio was just a tad bit low, but it usually is, and then it picks up. So how are things for you, Mr. OVI, up there in Central Florida?
I'm just fine, Kathy. I must have the most unique audio system on this planet here. Mine is adjustable, automatic adjustable gain control. So I guess it first of all senses my audio and then it adjusts to it. So please forgive me. I'm living in a technocratic world here. Anyway, Plant a lot of plants around your house. That's one good thing. You keep your earth full of oxygenated and petrified, whatever you call it. But anyway, plant a lot of plants and make sure that you put some compost under the plant, so it can grow into it and it would get into its own world of ecology. So use that compost. We do a lot to get the compost going. Now, why in the world would people want to build close to a defunct site? I don't understand. You got all this other territory you can build on, but why build it so close to all that stuff? The environmentalists, I don't know. I think they're slacking off in terms of keeping people safe. But that's all that toxic stuff. Oh, God. It should be investigated and make sure if there's anything growing inside of it that later pops up. Let me buy a nickel here. Anyway, getting back to Earth Day, I think if my recollection is that there's some things. Now, it is a school of thought that the Earth is going to some day, and maybe many years from now, whatever, is going to reverse poles. And that's going to be a real shocker, how that's going to play itself out and how the environment's going to be affected there. Could it be the first signs of polar cap, meltdown? I don't know. That's a sign of the polarization changes, the ice cap melting or whatever, and now it's trying to find itself a new home on the planet. So a little bit, but it'll be a bit too young to realize that. I think the planet's too young to realize another shift like that, if it ever had occurred. But interesting point. But keep your plants pretty well planted around the house. It surely beautifies the property for one thing, and it provides an avenue where you can. But here again, in Florida, they have a fertilization law now coming up. That's going to be something. What that's going to be all about, using fertilizer in around the house. That's going to be interesting. And I don't know how that plays out with the farmer, so we'll find out. Come to the last subject, Kathy, and I hope we have some other good input into this project. So, take care from Katie Fawaska, Victor, India. I might want to come back a little bit later. Wishing you the best of a good day.
All right, Pete, thanks for sharing. And when you paused, you went back down to low audio, but came back. And you didn't say toodaloo. I always look forward to hearing that toodaloo, but you didn't say that this morning. And you didn't talk about magnolias. My goodness, I thought you were going to talk about that. Actually, a home Gordon and I looked at yesterday, because we're having to relocate, had a lot of nice plants and shrubs, and one of them was a magnolia, which is about ready to bloom. The backyard, it sits on a canal, had a lot of animals and a lot of nice shrubbery, and actually a lot of nice trees, which I don't have too much right now. So who knows? That may be our future home. But a lot of nice areas with a lot of wildlife. So with that, I'm going to pick up Jack, K4JAK, whose audio was a little bit low, and see what he would like to share with us this morning before we continue on. Jack, we're talking about Earth Day, Arbor Day, gardening, reusing, recycling, or anything you'd like to talk about, and you know about. We don't call it Mount Trashmore, I don't think, in Fort Pierce, but it is one of our mountains. So, Jack, K4JAK, please come aboard.
All right, thank you, Kathy. And I see by the bar that I corrected my audio. Cool. I don't know what it was. Went in and it was down to zero, so I had to run it back up. Who knows? Who knows? I'm the only one that plays with it, right? anyway, we do recycle around here now. We used to not. Simple fact, the other place we live, we put it out, and they drive by and they leave it. And it end up dogs that get in it, whatever, you know, the wild dogs that run out there get in it, you know, knock it over, and you come home and you have to clean it up. So we quit doing that. But now they've gone away from the blue and yellow bucket that we used to use. We have one container now that everything goes in. Believe it or not, everything goes into one big container, and they dump it. Pick it up, dump it into the truck, and haul it off. But as far as Mount Trashmore, well, you know, our landfill here, I don't think we're using it anymore. We've opened up a separation facility that they take all our trash to, and they dump it out and separate it. Then they load it into more trucks, and then they import it to Okeechobee. So our trash now goes to Okeechobee, Florida. So, and I didn't know that until a couple weeks ago. Just amazing, amazing. But yeah, we're sending our trash to the center of the state. Oh well, what can I say? I guess they need a mountain over there now, and we're going to help them. So I guess maybe we'll have a Fort Pierce state on Okeechobee Mountain. Who knows, right? Anyway, that's about it. Not a whole lot going on there. Congratulations. I hope everything works out. I'm finding the house, and yeah, let me know when you need a hand, whatever. But myself, I wouldn't buy a washer and dryer used. I've been down that road. I'd buy them new. I know you guys are looking and all, but I really would. And we've gone through three or four since we've been together, and we've always bought them new. And, you know, ours are in the weather, so, you know, we get our money's worth out. But like I said, I've run into the problem with the used ones. Let me let this drop a second. That's just my opinion there, but I definitely would go ahead and go with the new ones. You got the full warranty and service and all that on them. So enough said about that. I did go buy a new grill today. You know, I guess I'm pretty hard on a grill. As often as we use it, it gets used all the time here. That's 99% of what we cook on around here is a grill. So I did have to go buy a new one today, and got done putting it together today. So it'll be ready to be broke in later on this afternoon. With that said, I'll give it back to you. And now, Gary up there real quick, I see where he said fertilizer, just lived next to a dairy farm. That's all right, man, if you can stand the smell. K4JAK, back to Net.
All right, Jack, thanks for your recommendation. And I've been looking mainly because with moving into a home and all that expensive, we were looking at something simple to start off with. And some of them say they're still boxed. They've never used them. Or some of them say that they've used them for a year and they bought it because it was needed. Now they're moving into a place that doesn't need it. So we'll definitely check it out and see what's out there. It's been a long time since I've had to buy anything new, and I think they're pretty expensive. So thank you, Jack, for sharing with us. Thanks for the information about Okeechobee. And you know, as I drive by your house back from Data House, I saw a small little grill, and I'm not sure if that's what you've been grilling on, but it was a tiny little one. So maybe you'll come back aboard at some point and tell us what kind of grill you got, because I know you wear them out. But also, and I see the comment from you, Rick, and I'll pick you up in just a moment, those garbage trucks, as I go to school, they actually have a long arm they take out, pick up that garbage bucket, and dump it in their truck. That's just amazing. I don't know how that is possible to do, but that's the way in Fort Pierce I've seen it done. Here they just pick them up and throw it in a truck. So with that, I'll call on Mr. Rick in N1VXP with your comment. Come aboard.
This is N1VXP. Now, as far as that truck with the arm, that makes it so one person driving the truck doesn't have to pick up the trash. The truck actually does it automatically, or not automatically, but with the control of the driver, he can pull up, pick the barrel up, dump it in, and makes it a lot easier. They don't have to worry about physically hurting themselves lifting the heavy barrels around. I just thought I'd let you know that when I was up in Hartford, Connecticut, they have the recycle boxes. They're blue ones that people use, but they take the trash and they actually go into a processing plant they call trash to energy. They actually sort out the trash and actually burn the remaining trash, and that's hooked into a steam generator, and that actually produces a certain amount of electrical power for the area. As far as what's left over, they just take that and they bring it over to a landfill and actually bury it. Let me drop for a second. And as far as landfills, yeah, Hartford has their Mount Trashmore. Of course, they just closed it up recently because it got completely filled. And one area of the land around that trash area was, this goes back about 20 years ago. They decided they were going to build a new police and fire administration and dispatch center. And what happened was, it was only good for about 5 years. All of a sudden, everybody started complaining. They weren't feeling well. And they found that putting that building in an area that was highly polluted was a big no-no. And it got to the point that now they relocated to another area away from this. But getting back to the landfills, this is something I read about, heard about from other areas, that they actually found that the landfills actually were a great energy source. And apparently methane gas coming off of the landfill was something that could have been used. Of course, in Connecticut, they got to the point where they had the landfills and they had special pipes that were driven into the ground to recover the methane. But they got to the point where they were like, oh, what do we do with it now? Let me drop for a second. You know, they have these collection points where they pick up the methane gas, and I don't know if they ever went through with it, but they were talking about possibly recovering the methane and being able to store it and actually I don't know, they're talking about recovering it and using it in a liquid form. Of course, it's quite an expensive process, but you know, I've heard about other cities where they've done the trash, and I think there was one area, I'm not sure exactly where it was, they actually do rely on the trash dump area producing the methane gas to go over to a power plant and help supplement the power and fuel needed to keep the power plant going. But it used to be you just dumped the trash in a big hole in the ground and kept filling over it and never worrying about it. But now they've designed these landfills with the liner in them so the pollution stays within the area. And they end up putting you know, special plumbing involved in the landfill to recover the methane gas and water is runoff is actually retained within the landfill, so the area around does not get polluted. But that could be a whole different thing if we all took and paid attention to these problems. N1VXP back to net control.
Well, Rick, that's some great information, and yes, I agree. And, you know, before I close, I will actually talk about reducing a little bit of what, you know, you see in the stores. Everything is packaged in plastic, and I'm talking about meats and that. We're also going to talk a little bit about, you know, I buy fresh vegetables from a market just down the road from me. And when it comes to bananas, if I don't eat them fast enough, they turn brown. But I have that with broccoli. When it starts turning yellow, I don't do too much of eating with it, but I do cut it up and make it like a hot vegetable. So a lot of us do that. We overbuy and we end up throwing out. And I do that with vegetables. I just can't eat enough of them. So thank you, Rick, and thanks to others who came aboard. But I have two comments awaiting. I have one from George and one from Gary before I move on talking about our program further this morning. So, George, let me pick you up first. Tell us about recycling, reusing, Earth Day, Arbor Day, gardening, anything you want to talk about this morning. And it's been a while. I hope all is going well with you and the family. And come aboard and share with us this morning.
Good morning, Kathy. Let me check. How's the audio?
Your audio is sounding great. You must be on a laptop. I just see your vanilla call sign there, but your audio is just super. So I wasn't checking the bar, but I didn't think it was too loud. But it sounded okay to me. So, George, come aboard. Tell us how those puppies are doing as well.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo, and let me say good morning to everyone on South Party. Rick kind of beat me to it as far as the methane. But I read a book years ago, someone else has read it, called Foxfire, and Foxfire 2, and he talked about methane, and, you know, those who do gardening, their trash, your kitchen garbage can go in a compost pile, and you can create your own methane. And with all inner tube, which you don't see too many of them too much anymore. Trucks are, you can probably pick them up. And a 4 foot square sheet of plywood laying on top of them in a concrete block would give you, the pressure that you get on your regular city main gas lines there. So, I learned about survival many years ago there, and trash, Mount Trashmore, which we have all over the country there, can also be a gold mine, especially some of these folks that live out in the woods, some of these old dumping sites, there's thousands and thousands of dollars worth in rare bottles and all kind of little goodies, so if you're out hiking in the woods there, put your gloves on and get your little digger out, and no telling what you might find there. We used to go out in Key West, what we call Rest Beach there, and dug up quite a few bottles, old gin bottles and milk bottles, when milk used to come in bottles there. So wanted to throw that in there, and let me take a pause for the cause. Well, let me say, pick it up. I was gone most of the day yesterday, so soon as I got home, I was on poop control there. Yeah, I'm a redneck, I'll recheck, we got the puppies doing pretty good there. Got one of them pretty much a paper train there. So she's my darling. Call her Tasha there, and the ears are standing up pretty good there. And what can I say? Bring a smile at my face, just the way little puppies are sometimes there. But you know, Kathy, there's always something that you can recycle there. Just a matter of you know, your cans, your aluminum cans. If you don't want to go to the trouble of taking them down and turn them into cash, there's quite a few organizations that you just make a phone call to them, and they'll be happy to pick them up, you know, and donate it to a good cause. So, oh, mercy me, there's so much into recycling, and to put a smile on you, a cheek and a chuckle, don't forget to poop in the woods this week and help a nature out there, you know. A little bit of stuff might go a long way to nurture a tree. And with that, I've got some beautiful red roses. You know, kind of verify that. With all these dogs, you know, I need to do something with it. So I just rake it up. I let it dry out, rake it up, and dig a hole, and let nature take its course there. So top of the day to you, Miss Kathy, and everyone connected this morning. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo. I hope put a chuckle in your throat and a smile on your face. Back to Net Control.
Well, good morning, George. Yes, your last going in the woods, that was humorous. But I would like to say what George is talking about. And Robert, I'll give you a quick check-in in just a minute here after I've talked about what George is talking about with the compost bin. You know, I remember in Michigan, we ate a lot of vegetables, and instead of putting it in the trash, if it wasn't eaten, we would dig that hole somewhere in the yard and put it into the ground. It's going back into the ground. But, you know, some people set aside a place in their yard where they can dispose of certain food and plant materials, and over time that material will break down through the natural process called decomposition, and the compost is good for the soil in your yard. It means that less garbage will go to that landfill. So maybe try that. If you're in an area, just dig a hole and put that garbage into that hole. And I used to do that with when I had the dog, with the droppings as well. I would dig holes and put it into the ground. So let me, Gary and Pete, let me call on Robert. He is up there in Peterborough, and he asked for a quick check-in. So let me call on him. V-E-3-I-E-L. Robert, we're talking about Earth Day, Arbor Day, recycling, reusing. We're talking about gardening. So what would you like to share with us this morning?
Okay, well, excuse me. Good morning, Kathy, and all the folks that are listening in here on the Self-Cars Net. Well, the thing that they're worried about around Peterborough here is that because of our snow all through the winter, a big mound of snow with salt, a lot of salt and sand. And what they're worried about around here is if there's a quick runoff, there's going to be salt into the water system here. And that's going to be an environmental problem if all that salt gets into the Trent Severn waterway. There's going to be a lot of concern about what that's going to do with the wildlife and the fish and all that, and the drinking water even. We get our drinking water right out of the Trent Severn waterway, and that is where the snow and salt and sand is going to end up if there's a very quick runoff. I don't know whether anybody else out there has anything like a problem of that sort. But that is the big worry. And of course, along the Trent Severn waterway, as we go south, a lot of flooding down around Belleville, which is southeast of us. But anyways, I thought I would throw that in before I had to leave, just to see if anyone else had that same kind of problem. Back to you, Kathy.
Well, Robert, thanks for sharing that. I don't know if we have that problem in our area, you know, but some of the lower, we don't have the problem of salt or the sand. But let me throw it out there for anyone, and then I'll pick up those rechecks. I haven't forgotten you. Let me throw it out there to anyone listening. In your area, do you have the same type of concern about the salt and the sand going into the water system? And causing a major problem. We've got a lot of people connected from a lot of different areas. So let me just throw that out there to anyone anywhere that would like to come aboard and see if you have that same type of concern as Robert does. So looking for check-ins. Well, Robert, it doesn't look like anyone else has that major concern, but hopefully they will transfer that salt and that sand to areas that won't cause that major problem. But thanks for sharing that with us. And, you know, I'm sure there's areas of the country that have that same concern. It doesn't look like any of our connected stations do. So hopefully all will go well and you won't have a problem there in Peterborough. And our thoughts will be with you so that things will all work out for you. Let me break with you and let me pick up Gary. He was the next one on my list. He had a comment. So KC2RMO, come aboard with your comment.
Well, thank you, Kath. As far as Robert's problem goes, we don't have that issue here in Syracuse because most of our drinking water comes from Skaneateles Lake and or on a not Onondaga Lake, Lake Ontario. The huge volumes of salt they use on the street don't end up on either one. However, in the city of Oswego, which is the county seat of Oswego County, and we've talked about Oswego County before, that is a concern up there, and I'm not really sure how they handle it, but they get more snow than we do, and they use more salt than we do, and they are right on the shore of the lake, so I know they take great pains, even by Oswego County standards, to keep it out of the lake. So that is a big concern in that neck of the woods, but not here in the city of Syracuse proper. Now, as far as washers and dryers go, I agree wholeheartedly with Jack. Get yourself some new units, okay? I had great luck with a used dryer. This was many years ago. It was a 1950s vintage Amana, the leader in kitchen appliances since 1934. It was an Amana gas dryer that was indestructible, and I ran that thing literally for 20 years. It was still running when I got rid of it. It just simply didn't have the temperature control for modern fabrics. You know, it was basically built. You know, everything back then was cotton, so. It didn't have any real settings for synthetics. But that was the exception. Everything else that I think we've ever bought is basically used like this, basically been junk. And the new stuff you buy is junk too, but at least it's junk with a warranty. So I think you're better off with that. And finally, just to get back to Jack, you know, I wasn't always the suave, sophisticated city creature that you hear now. For 6 years, I lived in a place called Atisco. And Atisco is 1,800 feet up on a mountain, a high hill or a mountain, a high hill or a low mountain. I don't know really what you'd really call it, but it's 1,800 feet up. It is in the middle of nowhere, and where I lived was 1 mile away from a dairy farm. And if you want to talk about fertilizer, when that wind shifted, you knew it was there. Casey, we can still smell it. Yeah, really, that's true. In the city, when the wind shifts and it comes in from the southwest, if you get the right day, you can smell those fields out here. you know it's there. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
Well, thank you, Gary, and I've heard you talk about Onondaga Lake, I think, in the past, and to get to water from that, I'm sure that was... You know, not going to happen. But thank you for sharing, and thanks for the advice on the washer and the dryer. And actually, one of them I've been looking at is supposedly never been taken out of the box. It was bought and never used. sense, and that is an amana as well. So with that, I'm going to call him Mr. OVI, Pete, who's going to come up with low audio, I know, but eventually it comes up. Pete, what would you like to share with us?
Atrociously good volume thing I got over here. But anyway, so far as water is concerned, we need to take care of the water for sure. You don't want all that pollution to get into the water system. And we need to take care of the water supply, that's for sure. Anything you can do to alleviate the condition, definitely would be a plus. But getting back to fertilizer, yeah, I've got a couple of places in my backyard which I've stuck some leaves in there and stuff. And I'm letting nature take its turn and see what comes of it. Maybe a couple of years from now I'll dig it up and see what happened down there. See if I can utilize that somewhere else and make things grow better. But I'm getting garden-wise here. I usually put about an inch or two of leaves underneath the plant that I plant, and then I put the compost underneath the leaves. Put the compost underneath, put the leaves about a couple of inches of leaves on top of that, then put some dirt on top of that, and then put your plant on top of that. Now, that is a treat for the root system. They'll go through the leaves first, they get accustomed to the leaves, and then they hit that black stuff, that black fertilizer, and my gosh, they're going to have a field day. And I've got some viburnums that in the backyard that are almost, you look at the trunk of it. And knowing what I did in the past, putting them in there, I'm telling you, it's like a dynamite. You get that stuff in there, and all of a sudden they take off like a rocket. I've got viburnums that's close to becoming a tree here, and that's good. That's very good. Make sure that your fertilizer is natural. My contention is. They sell in stores this black cow stuff. It's called black cow. It comes in a yellow bag, and that stuff is potent. I mean, you want to spruce up plants, they'll do it for you. Black cow. So far as landfills concerned, I think you ought to take the landfills and rake them down. And do some of that stuff that's on all that stuff. You know, beginning in the 21st century, we'll be leveling those things and containing all that methane and all that stuff and do something really good to it. I see I have an obvious set, so I heard that click, click noise. Anyway, that's my contribution for this morning, Kathy. From Katie for Oscar Victor India, wishing you the best of goodbyes and toodaloo.
There you go, Pete. That's usually a way you sign off, and I didn't hear that last time. And like I said, it always reminds me of my father. So we're going to start to wind down here. I just want to share some thoughts with you about reducing and reusing. You know, you can reduce waste by using a computer. And we have, I think, 9 or 10 computers, so we're really reducing waste. Most newspapers and magazines are available online. Instead of buying the paper versions, you can find them on the internet. And also remember that you should print only what you need. Everything you print that you don't really need is really a waste of paper. You know, and I'm finding lately with just about everything, and the home that we looked at, and the lady, she bought the home and she did everything by email. It was never a contact. All the paperwork was done on that. So they're going away from doing paperwork or anything. They're doing it by computer. So I wanted to share that with everyone. And save energy by turning off the lights that you're not using. Save water by turning off the faucet while you brush your teeth. You know, instead of throwing things away, trying to find ways to use them. And one thing that I've just done recently is I went through a lot of my clothes. I took about 8 bags, I believe, to Goodwill. And I think I gave 5 to our school of a family that lost everything in a fire. So I'm actually sharing some of those items. But let me throw it out there to anyone anywhere who would like to make some final comments before we close this morning. I've enjoyed the conversation, and I've enjoyed running the net. But let's see who else would like to come aboard and just make any final comments before we close. So at this point, I'm looking for check-ins.
You bet, Yankee.
UKZ.
All right, at this point, I have 2 final check-ins. I have Quebec Yankee. Good morning, Jim and Rebecca. And I have Daryl, UKZ. So you made it back. Is there anyone else anywhere that would like to come in and make any final comments for the Sunday morning ride-to?
RMO for one last time.
Juliet Alpha Kilo for one final comment.
All right, I'll run with these 4 stations and see what their final comments are, and then we'll close this morning so that you can enjoy the rest of your day. So with that, I'm going to call on Quebec Yankee. Good morning, Jim. Hopefully you and Rebecca are doing well. And our topic today was Earth Day, Arbor Day, gardening and reusing and recycling, or anything else you'd like to share with us this morning. So, Jim, come aboard.
This is KB4QY, 1880, Echo 1880. But anyway, well, I didn't have that all that much by the Earth Day, really, but I did, while I was sitting here listening, there's a lot of comments made that I've participated in from time to time. I think the largest one was the dairy product that the cows placed on the ground there for us. And I have hauled that by the truckload. Most any dairy would give it to you. And
yeah, I think the so, grass had given it away.
Yeah.
It.
But we go down, get us a big truckload of it, scatter it on the yard, and it'd do 2 things for you. It would give you a plenty of fertilizer to grow, make the grass grow real good. Also, there's no need to sow grass. If you do that, it's got the grass seed in it. And around here, that's Bermuda. The Bermuda grass. And, but that is highly dependent upon what the appetite, what the grazing grass was in the field, because that's what it's going to be. So, but around here the cows grazed on Bermuda, and so the seed was Bermuda. And the first year you'll have about 75% clover, 25% Bermuda. The next year, you'll have about 50% either way. And then it goes on up, and before long, the clover is just out of it, and it's all Bermuda. But and it always is a good place for bees to hang out. I know that I had a very susceptible foot, barefooted, of course, as kids always were, and I had a very susceptible foot to them honeybees. It'd draw them 2 blocks
But anyway, that's all right. We had good grass anyhow. But the thing that I wanted to do more than anything else was say good morning to you, Mrs. Smith. Hadn't had a chance to do that yet, you know. I just hope y'all have a great time together. House hunting, I know that ain't no particular pleasure. It is for the first two or three houses, but then it begins to get old. And you say, now wait a minute, they had such.
Well, this is Kilo 6 Sierra, United November. Jim, you're probably still talking, but you've timed out, and I'm sure you're probably not hearing this, but I do agree. After, I think we looked at 5, and after that, it got very tiring. Well, let me, we'll wait for Jim, but let me call on you, Daryl, UKZ, and see what you'd like to come back aboard as a final check-in. And welcome back.
Yeah, thanks again, Kathy, very much indeed. Yeah, I just figured I'd jump back in here after I got where I was going. I decided I was going to walk back home. It was just absolutely gorgeous out here today. It's plus 7 degrees Celsius, warmest day of the year so far. So I figured I'd jump in with that. It's nice and sunny, barely a breeze blowing. Actually finally feels like spring. Surprise, surprise. I think we're all shocked here in Newfoundland. We woke up this morning and you didn't need to bundle up to go outside. So that was about it. Just figured I'd jump back in with that. I got that much of a shock. My hair had almost stopped when I felt the warm air on my face. We hadn't felt that since last fall. So 73 is all the best. Great job with Ned as always, Kathy. And I hit the record button before I went out of the house. So I'll listen to the rest of the net later this afternoon. 73 is all the best. VO1 UKZ.
Well, super, Daryl. I'm glad that you could get back in, and yes, it's always nice to walk when it's nice and sunny outside, not too breezy. And you've really had a real hard winter, so I'm sure you're appreciating that nice, warm weather. And it'll improve, I'm sure. So hopefully winter is behind everyone. Hopefully it won't revert back to some cooler temperatures. And ours is going to be starting to head up into probably the 80s and 90s, and we'll get just beautiful. So thank you for coming back aboard, Daryl. Jim, I see that you're back. You were talking about house hunting, and after the first two or three, how tired you got, then you timed out. But maybe you can come back aboard and finish your comment, what you were talking about when we didn't hear you. So, Quebec Yankee, come aboard.
All right, KB4, QI. Well, that was about it. But hey, I just wanted to say good morning to you, Mrs. Smith. And it's just a pleasure to check in with you this morning. And then I turned it over to Becky Doodle, and it didn't do no good because we timed it out. So I'll try that again. KB4QX. KB4QY. Over.
Oh, man, we are having a ball here today, that's for sure. Well, as I wanted to make a comment on one of a follow-up response to one of Jim's comments, and he was talking about the aromatic dairy farms and what you can do with some of the call for that. Well, I was saying I do not recommend a full body bath in the stuff. I've been there, done that. It's not fun, but you don't forget it. That particular day, we had just gotten some new clothes in, and we were trying on clothes. And Dad came in, so it was time to go get up the cows, and he was in a rush, Mama gave me permission to wear these brand new pants and just take it out of the package and try it on. And she said, don't get them dirty. That mat is going to get messy. You can always count on it. So, I worked real, made sure I had the boots that came up and off as far as I could to help protect these pants. And we got back to the barn, got the cows all up there, and I hadn't got a spot on these pants. And then just at the tail end of it, you wanted to get the cows up into the holding area and close the gate. They're almost about halfway up there, and you got some silly up there that decides to turn around and come back out. And so everybody in the back, they start backing up. Well, I can't see what the problem is, and I don't realize that they're backing up because I'm not as tall as the cows yet. And Dad's looking over, and he said, watch out, they're taking a step backwards. About that time, the one right in front of me took a step backwards and knocked me down over into the manure pit. And that was not fun, and I don't recommend it. Y'all have a ball. This is Katie's boy, T-Rex. Thank you, Kathy.
Well, Rebecca, I can just imagine seeing that. And as a little girl, I think I would have been told the same thing. Of course, I wasn't around a farm, but it was always, don't get your clothes dirty. And then all of a sudden, I would have brothers that would probably push me down into it. But we've been talking about fertilizer here, and the admin text box has been going on about chicken droppings. And I think I've used chicken in a garden. I've used a horse compost, and I'm not sure if I've ever used cow. I remember driving in DeLand, I think it's Spring Garden Road. There's a little area that they have some horses, and they always have a sign out there for free compost. You actually have to have a trailer and load it yourself. But, you know, a lot of them don't charge you anything for that. But I remember years growing up, and that's how it was. But thank you, Jim, and thank you, Rebecca, and thanks for your well wishes. And we are doing just great. House hunting is not a great thing we want to do because they have such requirements now that you have to do, the checks they want to take you through, So it's finding the right place and the right person as a landlord as well. We're just planning to rent. So hopefully everything will work itself out and we can get our life settled before school year ends, which is actually coming up. Testing this week and throughout the month, throughout May, and then June 5th is actually my last day of the school year, but I'm going to be working 2 weeks during the summer. So with that, I'm going to pick up my backup, Mr. RMO, and see what his final comments are. And Gary, I want to thank you for running the session last night and being here as my backup this morning. So come aboard.
Oh, what's on the floor of the chicken coop? Anyway, with the conversation this morning, you know, they had a sale on storm doors, and we're going to go out and check them out, but I think we're going to change that and start looking for a manure spreader. get some chickens and we're going to be in great business. Yeah. But first of all, Kath, that's totally my pleasure as always. But I did want to pass along one serious note that, you know, we talk a lot about the environment and, you know, to this day there are still people that kind of downplay the importance of taking care of the environment, but you know, you've got nothing to lose by doing it. That's number one. Number two, you know, we're all in this together. Everybody benefits from it. Number three, when you're taking care of the environment, you're passing along a legacy to our kids and to our grandkids. So even if you're not 100% into it, you know, everybody's 100% into their kids and grandkids, so think about them. Having said that, I will say 73 to everybody, and have a great week. And, Kath, it's back to you. This is KC2RMO, back to the net.
All right, Gary, thanks so much for your comments, and don't forget on Thursday. I don't know, but I think you're part of our TIN this Thursday about antennas, coaxes, and I think it's efficiency, if I recall. But I think you're part of that, so don't forget that on Thursday. And with that, I'll break with you, Gary, but you and Stephanie have a wonderful day. Actually, my afternoon's going to be a little bit of schoolwork. I haven't been doing that, and a little bit more of probably packing, and maybe I'll go out and enjoy the day, but possible storms a little bit later today. So, and then it's back to the grind tomorrow, testing tomorrow and this week, so I'm going to enjoy my day. So with that, I have you, Rick, and I'll pick you up after Jack before we close. K4JAK, good morning once again, and share with us about the grill you got, whether it's a fancy one or just a simple one, and anything else you'd like to share this morning. Well, it looks like Jack may have stepped away for a moment. Let me call on him once again, Rick. If I don't hear back from him, I'll give you a call. K4JAK, the kitty's bothering you, or you're away from the computer in the kitchen or outside, and we'd like to hear from you. So if you are there, come aboard. If not, I'll come back and get you. All right, we'll come back and get Jack. N1VXP, what is your final comment?
N1VXP here. Yeah, my only comment, I've been through the dairy farm. When I went to school in Pennsylvania, one of the cottages I was living in was actually a part of a dairy farm. There were three cottages together. And we had all the experience of being on a dairy farm, having the manure. Of course, we had a machine that would haul it out of the barn. Of course, we had to clean out the stalls. And let me drop for a second. Yeah, we had the machine that would scrape it out and, you know, load it up onto a manure spreader. And it was like once a day the herdsman would take and drive that out to the fields and dump it. And it was, of all things, out into a field where they had cabbage growing, because the school made their own sauerkraut. So had the experience of working at a dairy farm and going through all the process, and also in the main kitchen where they ground up the cabbage, made it into sauerkraut. So had the full deal of learning about the nature's way of fertilizing, and always thought about that, and I said, wow, you know, not too many city folks would ever think of that, but it was a fun deal, but it was hard work. Of course, they eliminated the dairy farms, so one thing led to another, and then they didn't need all the vegetable gardens growing, so they decided, oh, we got to come up with something. So they ended up taking those fields and leasing them out to other people for growing soybean and corn. So nothing went to waste at all. And as far as our weather here, let me drop for a second. Looks like another day of 80-degree weather, but tomorrow's going to cool down a little bit, be in around 70. And Tuesday, we're back to winter. I thought winter was over with. Going to be in the low 40s for a high and upper 20s for a low. Chance of rain and snow showers. And I understand northern Michigan has been still getting snow up there. So eventually, you know, we're going to kind of settle back out. Hopefully it'll stay nice. All our trees, cherry trees, apple tree, magnolias, they're all in full bloom. And it just seemed like it was in the last 2 days that they really came out nice. But I knew it wasn't forever that we were going to get this warm weather, but kind of enjoyed it. Of course, it's a little breezy today, about 30-mile-an-hour wind, so it may not feel 80 degrees, but definitely I can hear the wind whipping around now, and I'm thinking, wow, I got to go out in this stuff. Hopefully, it'll die down a little bit. No rain in sight until Tuesday, and like I say, rain and snow showers. Maybe that's going to be it. NY3XP back to net control.
Well, Rick, I was hoping that winter was over, but it always, I remember the years up there that it wasn't until sometimes July 4th that you could do any planning because you had the cold weather still there. So hopefully things will greatly improve. And your comment about sauerkraut, I actually used to do that, grind it up, put it in a crock, and have my own homemade sauerkraut. And I used to do that with pickles as well. Haven't done much of that, so... But that brought back some memories. Thank you, Rick. And I want to thank everyone at this point for checking in today. But I see Jack is back. And let's see what he would like to share with us. And Jack, I'm not sure if you heard, but I was curious what kind of grill you got. And I asked if there was anything else you wanted to share, but you never came back, so you must have stepped away. So with that, I'm going to throw it your direction, K4JAK, for your final comments this morning.
All right, thank you, Kathy. And I picked up a Weber grill, kettle style, you know, and one of the larger ones. But charcoal, always charcoal. I don't use any gas. Always use charcoal. But I picked it up. I think it's a silver, something to that effect. I don't remember the name of it. But anyway, that's about it. Not a whole lot to say. We'll let you close the net there. What I heard has been good and interesting, and the text box has been amazing, huh? And yeah, George, we're sorry we missed you too. We were looking forward to seeing you over the weekend there, George. Sorry we didn't get a chance to catch you there, but maybe next time. But yeah, like I said, I go through grills pretty quick around here. I just took the other one and drug it to the curb, so I'm sure it'll disappear before the day's out. They don't last long, you know. I don't have to worry about throwing them in the garbage. Somebody will pick it up, and they'll make use of it, definitely. So, that happens to a lot of stuff we get rid of around here. You just take it out to the curb, and it usually goes pretty quick, so no problem there. All right, with that said, we'll let you get back to making your last call and closing the net. And I know you guys got things to do today also. So, but like I said, let me know ahead of time so I can go over the calendar here just to make sure I got some free time to give you guys a hand. You take care, enjoy, and God bless. K4JAK, back to net.
Well, Jack, thanks so much for being here this morning and sharing with us, and I will definitely keep you posted. I'm not sure it'll be sometime in May, first part of May, and if this is approved, we can gradually move things in. It's the big stuff I'm more concerned with because I can't lift too much, and definitely Gordon can't do it alone, so some help would definitely be appreciated. It's been a long time since I've had to do this and move, so I'm not looking forward to it, but it's a new experience for us. With that, I want to thank everyone for being here this morning, discussing with us about Earth Day and Arbor Day and recycling and gardening. But I do want to encourage you to, if you are any of our net controls, to please confirm if you are there next week. We ask that you confirm as far in advance as possible. Also check out our website. It's changing daily. But on Thursday, our TIN will be about antennas, coax, and efficiency. I believe Gordon is running it. I believe Gary may be part of that. So join us. That's 7 p.m. Eastern, I think it's daylight time. On Saturday, a usual net, so global, will be about memorable expeditions. And as you recall, the Titanic sunk during April. The Contiki had problems. And then, you know, maybe you have ham expeditions that you want to share as well. Next Sunday is about Easter, because next Sunday is Easter. Let me pause here a moment, and I'll close this morning's net. This has been SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, a VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our website, and that's www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been Kathy, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, saying 73, and closing this VOIP session. Thank you for your participation. The net is now closed. And on behalf of KC2RMO and myself, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, we want to say bye-bye for now.